السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد. قال النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم: من احب للہ وابغض للہ واعطى للہ ومنع للہ فقد استکمل الایمان، او کما قال علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام. رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم in this very beautiful hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person who loves for the sake of Allah, his love for anyone is for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And when he hates anyone, he dislikes a person, then his dislike is also solely for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. When he gives to anyone, then he gives also solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. A'ta lillah. And when he holds back from giving to anyone or any person, then that also is for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Then he has completed his iman, he has perfected his iman. Now we have to look at our lives in the light of this simple teaching of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the cause of our misery and the cause of our problems, they are many and varied. But one of the major causes is this, that there is a lack of ikhlas and a lack of sincerity in all that we do, in our giving, in our receiving, in our loving and in our hating. In everything, there is a lack of ikhlas. It is not done for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if the person loves for the sake of Allah, his love for anyone is for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Now, what does that mean? It means that this person, if he is loving his parents, it is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala, he must love his parents, so therefore he is loving his parents. He is not loving his parents because he is expecting big inheritance upon their death. Or he is making extra khidmat of his parents so that they may write one property in his name. These days that is what happens. That the person is making khidmat of his parents, but the niyat behind the khidmat is so that I may get one extra property, or in his lifetime he may give me some Kruger Rands or some dollars which he has stashed away somewhere. The niyat is so that he may get something from those parents whilst they are living, or so that they may write something for him which he may receive after their death. And most of the times those things which they write, then it is not even permissible for this person to accept if it is beyond his fair share of inheritance. Because as a child, the son, the daughter, these people will receive inheritance. Their shares have been fixed by the Quran Sharif. So if a father or mother during their lifetime have to give away something as an outright gift, then that will belong to that child. But if they have to write it in the will that upon my demise and upon my death, or after my death, then my son must get this property, my daughter must get that, then that will not be acceptable, because their shares have been fixed by the Quran Sharif. So they will get whatever their share has been fixed. Nevertheless, but the khidmat, the niyat for that khidmat is not the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That these are my parents, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has placed upon me a responsibility and an obligation that I must care for them, I must love them. So therefore I am doing that. I am making that khidmat for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. I'm not doing it for any other reason. So when this person is going to make khidmat solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then this person is not going to be concerned about what the parents' treatment is towards that child. The child is not going to be concerned very much about that, because the niyat is that I must do what I supposed to be doing. But if that khidmat is not for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then the person will see what is my benefit in this khidmat. In the same way, the khidmat and the service for the wife and for the children, Now that too, if it is for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then there will be a lot of tolerance. There will be a lot of patience that the person will exercise. The husband also, because of this love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, now he realizes that it is my duty that I must care for the wife, I must care for the children. So if he gets a kind of the non-appreciation for that khidmat that he is doing for his wife and children, then he will not be too concerned. He is not going to lose his head and lose his top, and the person is not going to start flaring up and using all kinds of abusive language and then abusing those children or abusing the wife, beating her up and putting her through torture. He is not going to do that. He will think that this is my duty, she is my wife, and now if she is saying something which is displeasing to me, then I must look at how many things I have said which is displeasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. How many things I have done which have been displeasing to Allah ta'ala. So sometimes Allah ta'ala uses the wife and the children and those who are our subordinates as an azab for us. That our punishment, because we are disobeying Allah ta'ala, so Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes our subordinates disobey us. This is an azab of Allah ta'ala in a disguised form. That when we find people are not respecting us, they are disobeying us, they are not listening to us, and they are our subordinates, they are our children and our wives and those that are working for us. So then we must also look at what have we done. How many things we have done which have been displeasing to Allah ta'ala. One wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says that if accidentally I have to commit some sin, of course they're not talking about sins like we commit sins, but in their capacity or in their, because of their stages, certain things which are not even sin, but they consider it as sin. So he says, if I do anything that seems to be displeasing to Allah Ta'ala, I find the effect of that even on my horse. That horse of mine which I ride comfortably, but because of the sin, the effect comes even on the horse, that it doesn't give me a comfortable ride. It wants to throw me out. So even the animals are affected by our disobedience. So this person who is making this khidmat of his wife and his children, and he is doing it for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then if there are some kind of lashbacks, then this person will think that I too have disobeyed Allah ta'ala abundantly. So what if they have disobeyed me? He will try to remedy the situation according to the Sharia, but he is not going to say that now I'm not going to make any more khidmat of my wife and my children, and I'm not going to serve them, and I'm not going to be good to them because they have been unkind to me. The same with family members and relatives, that if that khidmat and service of those family members and relatives was because it's a hukam of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it is an order of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Quran and this in the Quran Sharif, so therefore I am doing it. Man ahabba lillah. This love is solely for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So once the person has got the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then after that the difficulties and the hardships and the problems, the person will take it upon himself, because he knows that it is pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There the person will not always look at what did that person say, what did that person do to me, what were his words, how he caused me injury and pain, so therefore I'm not going to have anything to do with it. He's not going to do that, because his love is for the sake of Allah ta'ala. Of course there is one thing that sometimes worries a lot of people, and I get a lot of letters also in which people keep writing that. Then Maulana, the person said this or did that, now what do? I can't seem to forget. I can forgive, but I can't seem to forget. So I reply that who asked you to forget? If you can forget, alhamdulillah, but if you cannot forget, meaning that it stays in your subconscious mind, then you are not answerable and you are not accountable, because it is beyond your control. Our thoughts, we cannot control. So as you take a lesson, Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there could have been nobody more tolerant than him and more forgiving than him. We know that Wahshi was the one who martyred the uncle of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And in what condition the body of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu was found, with his ears cut, with his nose cut, with his heart and liver removed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself teared when he saw the body. And he said, if it had not been for Safiya, he said, I would have left it like that, so that on the day of Qiyamah, he would arise like that. Nevertheless, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam afterwards, when Wahshi accepted Islam, so he forgave Wahshi. But he told Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala an, that if it's possible for you, then don't come in front of me. Because when I look at you, then I think of my uncle. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there could have been nobody more tolerant than him. But he asked him not to come in front, because he says, when I look at you, then I will think of my uncle. Now the Muhaddithin have stated that here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's heart, if he had to look at him, he had forgiven him. There was no question of keeping any malice at heart. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam never kept any malice in his heart. Who could have had a more pure and clean heart than Rasul Pak Rasam's heart? But it was for the Ummat, that in the Ummat there will be people. There are people who have had good friendship, for example, and then due to some business deals or due to whatever reason, family matters, now that friendship is not the same as it was before. So now in such a condition, what we are told is that resolve the problem and then forgive the person. Now don't make ghibat of that person, don't talk behind his back. When you meet the person, make salam. But it's not necessary that you keep the same friendship that you had before. That's not necessary. It's not within the person's capacity sometimes to do that. But that friendship, if it's based on the premises of love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that person will fulfill the rights of those people. We'll just stop here for today. But this, just in this one section, man ahabba lillah wa abghadha lillah, there's so much that the person's love is solely for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with whomsoever it is, whether it is with one's teachers, whether it is one's parents, whether the clients and customers. Now they too will say that how can he have a love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah and his clients and customers. So he said, there the love means that this person Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has put into his heart to come to my shop and purchase my goods. Who else sent him here? There are so many shops selling the same item, and there are so many people who will go and pay an extra price or a higher price at a certain store for that same item which they can buy at another place at a much cheaper price. So who is it that sends that customer there? I've given this example before too, and I repeat, that you take two people of equal intelligence and equal expertise and equal wealth, and give both of them prime spots and give them the same amount of goods, and then tell them to run the business. At the end of the month, there will definitely be a difference. Although they are equal in every sense of the word, very busy spot and everything, but if you have to look at the end of the month, there will definitely be a difference in the sales. So who is it that sent more customers to this place or less to that place? In India and in Pakistan, and even here now it has started, where you have one dozen shops and all are selling the same, especially in India and Pakistan, if you go to certain places, the same items from this end to the other end, there are 20 stalls or 50 stalls selling the same thing. But yet a customer, one will begin from this end and he will purchase at the second stall or at the fifth stall or at the tenth stall. Another one began from that side, he purchased at the 11th one or the 10th one or 9th one. Different customers will purchase from different stores, and at the end of the day, they will return home with somebody having done more business than the other person. So why should there be jealousy then, when it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who is putting into the hearts of the people that this is where you must go and purchase? So from this we learn that it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who puts into the hearts of the customers that this is where you must go and purchase your goods. So the person has got love for that customer because he has been sent by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he is giving him halal rizq via this person. So now his love became for the sake of Allah ta'ala. And his niyat also is that I want to earn halal, so that I do not have to beg, so that I do not have to steal, so that I will be able to maintain my wife, my children, pay for the rent, light, water of the house, and also I will be able to give masjid, madrasas, and make Hajj Umrah, look after the needy, the poor, the widows. Now so many niyats he can make and he can get so much of sawab and so much of rewards. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand these hadiths of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which there is, as we say, an ocean in a teacup. May Allah give us the tawfiq of making amal also. Listening is easy, but to make amal, amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, ye khaki apni fitrat mein na noori hai, na nari hai. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin.